Got a very interesting interview coming up for you today with Dr. Randy Olson. Now, a very interesting background. He was majored in partying, I guess, when he began his undergraduate degree, but finally became a serious student, got a PhD from Harvard in marine biology, did a postdoc living on an island off the Great Barrier Reef, and was on the gravy train. At 38 years old, he was a tenured professor at a major university, and all of a sudden, he walked away from it all, moved to Southern California, spent 3 years at USC in film school, and now has done the full range there, making documentary movies about science. And he's done everything from write, produce, direct, and act. And Randy, we're very pleased to have you with us on our show this morning.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Now, I ran into you here a couple weeks ago, and I got to read a copy of your book, and it's called Don't Be Such a Scientist. And I find it fascinating because so many of my friends and colleagues are scientists and engineers, and they have this great difficulty in communicating to normal people like me. You've seen both sides of this world. What have you learned?
Well, you know, it all starts with that title that actually came from my ex-wife, who was not a scientist, and it was just one of those lines that came out over and over again. You know, in the middle of a conversation, I'd be taking a cynical tack on something or overly critical or just unwilling to roll with something and just kind of being no fun, and she would just say, don't be such a scientist. And over the years, I kind of repeated that to some other scientist friends, and it kind of resonated with everybody, and eventually just kind of had to become the title of the book. So what the book is about is just some of the consequences of a career in science, some of the almost the bad habits that you develop. And my older brother's a lawyer, and he said from early on that you could almost write the same book for Don't Be Such a Lawyer, Don't Be Such an Accountant. A lot of these professions bring with them a kind of myopia, and you get so focused, and it becomes hard for people in the outside world to understand, what are you talking about? Don't be such a scientist.
Well, one of the things that you know, in the film industry, and I'm a fledgling getting into that myself, is it's about entertainment. You got to keep their attention. You got to put some tension in there, as you say in your book. And the scientist, well, it's all about facts. It's just about the facts. And you say, we got to figure out how to bring these together. And you gave a great example of two movies produced a few years ago by the same producer, by the way, about global warming. Tell us that story.
Well, it was, Laurie David, who used to be married to Larry David, the creator of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and she produced two movies, the first of which was called Too Hot Not to Handle, that aired on HBO, which almost nobody saw. I end up asking big conferences, you know, how many people here saw this movie, and nobody saw it. It was a very accurate movie. It took them 3 or 4 years, had a bunch of scientists in there, but just didn't reach much of an audience because it didn't have any broad entertainment elements. And then in 2005, about the same time, they decided that this issue was just becoming too urgent and they needed a broader piece of media, so they made this movie called An Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore. And that movie is broader in its tone. It has a celebrity as the host of it, Al Gore, and there's some humor and there's some stories from his heart and all those sorts of things. And as a result, it reached a much bigger and broader audience. But the problem is, it's not as accurate of a film. In fact, just last week, I was at University of Arizona, and a professor there told me that her students actually prefer Too Hot Not to Handle to An Inconvenient Truth, because it may not be as entertaining of a movie, but for the hardcore science students that really just want to get the facts, it's a very good movie, the dry, dull documentary format. But the tough thing is trying to reach that broader audience, and that's when you do have to engage in storytelling and some of these more human elements of emotion and humor and things that are kind of almost taboo in the world of research science. So it's about speaking two different languages and knowing what the dynamics are of those two different languages, the specific academic language and then the broader audience language.
We're talking to Dr. Randy Olson, who's the author of Don't Be Such a Scientist, a gentleman who's had the full experience in the academic world all the way up to tenured professor and then started at the bottom in the film industry and moved himself up through all the ranks there, trying to figure out how to these experiences. It's about telling a story. In your book, you also tell this great story about Titanic and stars. Give us that one.
Well, that's actually Neil deGrasse Tyson's story. He's a very popular astronomer. And he gave this talk about a year and a half ago at a conference that I was at. It was incredible. He told about how he went to see the movie Titanic. He thoroughly enjoyed it, but all of a sudden towards the end of it, he found himself not enjoying as much as the rest of the crowd, because when they had the scene where everybody was floating in the ocean and you looked up and saw the night sky, there's only two sets of constellations they could have put up there, the northern or the southern hemisphere, and guess which ones they put up there. the wrong ones, and he'd ruined the movie for him. But the second part of his story was that years later he was walking down the street in New York City and looked over, and there's James Cameron, the director of the movie, and he went up and said, you know, I hate to tell you this, but you got the wrong stars there at the end of your movie. And Cameron looked at him and said, you know, if we'd gotten those stars right, we probably would have made another $200 or $300 million at the box office. But then the final part, the tag at the end, was that in 2005 he got this phone call from out of nowhere from one of Cameron's producers saying, we're putting together the 10-year anniversary edition of Titanic, and Mr. Cameron says there's something wrong with our stars and that you might be able to help us fix that problem. So the whole story has a great happy ending, and Neil deGrasse Tyson is one of the all-time great science storytellers of today.
Well, and the key is you've told that story many times and you find that your audiences can repeat that story back to you verbatim. And that's the real purpose of putting that story in the book is when you tell people stories, that's the way we think. That's why we like certain movies the way we like them, because it's a story that we can follow. And that's what I have so many close, good friends that are scientists, and so many of them don't know how to communicate their story. That's what they got to learn how to do. And I think reading your book, Don't Be Such a Scientist, Talking Substance in an Age of Style by Dr. Randy Olson, is a fabulous, fabulous book. We've got 1 minute left, Randy. Tell us about two of the movies you've made for your documentaries on science.
Well, you know, the thing they grind into your head in film school is that the core of a good story is a source of tension or conflict. And so it's only natural that once I got started making documentary features for the science world, I was drawn to sources of tension or conflict, the first of which was the controversy over the teaching of evolution versus intelligent design. And so I ended up making a movie called Flock of Dodos, The Evolution versus Intelligent Design Circus, that kind of drew on my past in Kansas and the fact that my crazy 83-year-old mother lived next door to the biggest lawyer there in Kansas. And that movie premiered at Tribeca and played on Showtime for a couple years. And then 2 years later, I made another movie that's about the controversy around global warming called Sizzle, a global warming comedy, which in 2008, when we released it, a lot of scientists turned their nose up at it and said there is no controversy. But since last November and what went on with the ClimateGate mess, guess what? We suddenly have about 8 screenings right now for around Earth Day, where everybody's beginning to realize this is now the only film that's got the two sides of the genuine controversy that does exist around global warming, whether you like it or not.
Randy, thank you for your time. Once again, Don't Be Such a Scientist, Dr. Randy Olson. You heard it here on Science and National Security.